Good morning, and greet each one of you in Jesus' name this morning. I too count it a privilege to be gathered here in the house of God and to be worshiping with all of you again here at Kirkwood. As I was doing some thinking recently and thinking about preaching a sermon, and I've been doing some contemplating, and maybe it's just showing my age or my middle age that I was thinking back and looking back across my life, looking at other people and the lives that they're living, and asking myself the question, how did I get here? And not so much as how did I get here on this earth, but how did I get here in the life that I'm living? How did I get here at Kirkwood? How did I get here being a deacon at Kirkwood? How did I get here in family life, in all my connections and interaction with other people? I don't know if you've ever stopped and asked yourself that question or not. What brought me here? And then as you start to think about that and look back across your life, of all the things that had to come into place to bring you here today, my mind was going down this line as well as I think about Ryan and Danica. And they're leaving here, and they're moving to another location. And I asked, I thought about that. I was like, well, what brought them here? And they have a story that is interesting. Ryan coming to teach school, Danica living in the community, teaching school together, getting married, starting a life, and continuing on, and now they're moving on. I think we have a dating couple here for the first time this morning, and they have a story of how their lives interacted and came together, and now they're here this morning. And they're trying to figure out what God's will is in their life. We have another couple who's on the verge of getting married next month, and you have a story that has led you together. And it's going to, Lord willing, the wedding day will come, and then your life will be together from that moment on. And what was her story and what was his story now becomes somewhat their story, and they move on. And but we all have that. We all have a story. And so the title of my message this morning is Faithful Stories. You see, because as we live our life, as we hold God's hand and allow Him to lead in our lives, we will have a story to tell. Life is a story. Or when people write stories, it's about life. But one or the other, it's the same. And I want us to think about, if you can somehow just step back and look at your life and start to think about it, and then we'll also get into some more practical areas about why you are who you are. And sometimes that can be of great help when we're working with other people, when we're going to church with other people. It's very nice to know who they are and why they maybe think the way they do. And sometimes if we know their background and their upbringing, or we know their parents, we can start to understand why we do the things we do. We all have different stories that have made us who we are and brought us here today. And no single story this morning is the same. Ryan and Danica have differing pasts. The other dating couples they've attended different churches, and now they've come together and they're learning to know each other in a new way. So what makes, as I said before, the choices you have made are what makes your story. I'm going to start out, and I'm not doing this, I don't want to do this in any way to bring attention to myself. Maybe some of you will find it of interest. But I want you to think about it. As I started thinking about my life and thinking back through, I started writing things down, and it's a very, very brief and very, maybe not brief, but it's not a very detailed picture of my life and why I'm here this morning. And my story goes something like this. I was born in Lancaster on June 26, 1989. I spent the first 9 months of my life in a house trailer along Little Britain Church Road. At that point, my parents packed up and moved to Versailles, Missouri, and built and started a hog farm. The next 10 years were carefree, spent on the farm, going to Versailles Mennonite Church and Versailles School. My school years were hard. I would have much rather been at home, roaming the pastures and making things with my hands. At age 11, after some difficult years of farming, my parents sold the farm and moved to Warrensburg, Missouri, where a new outreach church had started. Warrensburg Church, Warrensburg School, and the people that went there now became my life. This is where I first got to know a few of you that are here this morning. Life was good, not quite as carefree as I entered my adolescent years. Relationships took on a new meaning and complexity. The battle of right and wrong became more real. At age 13, after the death of my grandpa Nolt, my parents decided to move back to southern Lancaster County. Bethel Church, Bethel School, and the people that made it became my new world. Fitting into a new school midterm was hard. Studies were hard, and the way I went about trying to fit in was not always wise. I completed my schooling at Bethel. To be out of school, working with my hands all the time was pure freedom. Out of school, I started doing mowing and landscaping for Alvin Rohr. As I grew older, I became more aware of my sinful nature and that I was not right before God. On a Monday evening after a week of revivals at Bethel, I told my parents I wanted to become a Christian, and with their help, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. It was at that point, because of some struggles in church life at Bethel and a differing view of church administration, we started attending Loyola Mennonite Church. It was there that I went through instruction class, was baptized, and became a church member. I remember the feeling of joy and peace the night of my baptism. Life moved on. I made friends as I moved into the youth group. Many of my friends were good, sincere Christians who inspired me to do what was right. This is not to say that I was an angel. There was plenty of youthful energy in the things that I did and said that today I look back with some shame on. I did a few job switches to Rohr Construction, then on to Weaver Mauch. 3 terms of Pilgrim Bible School, a few work trips to Honduras, helping at Thursday Church, a 3-week CAS program in New Orleans, a work trip to Mexico, and frequent weekend trips to a new outreach church in New York City had a big impact on my teenage years. The friends I had and the people I interacted with shaped my formative years. It was through those trips I started to admire a beautiful young lady. So after some anxiety and stressing out about it, I worked up the nerve to ask her to start dating. She said yes, and Tia and I had our first date, and after 11 months, got married on October 1, 2011. There was much more to that part of my story, but for time, I will move on. We got married and settled down at Hartwick Drive in Quarryville. We attended Loyola, helped with Thursday Church, and enjoyed spending time together. Because of the distance we lived from Loyola and my childhood memories of Missouri, I never pictured myself living in Lancaster County forever. I had a job offer from Weaver's Tire in Missouri, so my wife and I took a trip out to look around and see if we could make Missouri our home. After some consideration, and because Tia was pregnant with our first child, we thought it would be better to wait a little longer to make this move. We came back home to wait, and I started helping my dad in the coffee business at that time. It was around that time that Loyola was planning a deacon ordination. I was young, no worries on my part. There was many more eligible men. But behold, the Lord had other things in mind. And on December 11, 2015, at the age of 26, I was ordained deacon for Loyola. It was at that moment my dreams of moving elsewhere came crashing down. Time moved on. More children came. Business grew. The talk of a church in Quarryville. The purchase of a building for a school. A failed vote on starting a church, and eventually a vote in favor of starting Kirkwood Church. Good church life, more babies, a growing school, another minister, a new building, and the list goes on. That is just a glimpse of my story, and some of you know my story from the beginning. Some of you have came into my story as it moved on. Some of you started to pick up and remembered things that were happening in my life that were happening in your life as well. There is much more that could be said at this point, but that's not the point I want to make about myself. The point is that we all have these different stories. Some of you I know more of your story than others. Many backgrounds have brought us here. All our families are different. Some come from different churches, different geographic location. And these all have a part to play in who we are this morning. How we are raised as a child is what we view as normal or somewhat middle of the road. The environment, the people, the experiences that we have a big impact on our perspective of life. And most of all, I think most of all, as I look back across my life, the thing that has the greatest impact on me was the people along the way. I wish every child was blessed with parents like mine that gave me a carefree childhood. I wish every 10-year-old boy could have a Kirvin Weaver to admire and look up to. I wish every 17-year-old could have an older friend like Laverne Weaver to help them enter the world of youth. I wish every young man could have a boss like David Weaver, who was very gracious when mistakes were made. I wish every young man could meet and have a girlfriend and wife like Tia, who brought joy and love into my world. But now one person does it all right. And sometimes as we meet these people in our journey of life, we see their negative traits and forget to admire their positives. Many have good traits we can admire. Our goal in life should be to copy the good in others and overlook the negatives. Too often, as I said, we zero in on the negatives and fail to see how we can become better by them. But it's the people that we meet in our life that will change us and make us who we are. Some of it is experiences, some things that happen to us, but more often than not, as I look back at my life, it was the people that I met along the way who had the most influence on my life. There are many things that come into our life that are outside of our control. There are also many choices that we make in life that make our story. You see, there are some things we cannot choose. Some things just happen to us. But then there's a lot of things, there's small choices we make that determine the outcome of our story. And even on the things that just, circumstances that happen to us, the choice we make with that ultimately affects our destiny. Our story is not only limited to our lifetime. Think about the generations that came before you that made it possible for you to be here today. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was your grandparents. Maybe it was as you look back and study back through Anabaptist history, you realize all the price that was paid for you to have the Christian day school, for you to be living in America and going to a church where you can freely worship, and the people who died because of that. You can go back through and realize that it was because of choices from 10 generations ago that we are here today. And something that is completely outside of your of any of decisions that you made this morning. Think about all the little things that had to come together for you to, if you're married this morning, for you to have met your spouse. Good many of us were living in different communities, and through different things we did, we started to meet them. And there's things had to come together to make this happen. And a few small changes in your story could have looked completely different. But let us never forget that we have these choices that we make, and there are things that in many ways, the choices we make will determine our destiny. But on the other hand, behind it all, and I'm not sure how to put it all together, but behind it all, there is a God. And there's a God who is orchestrating these circumstances. And there's a God who is orchestrating and helping in the decisions that you make through his Holy Spirit, through a brotherhood, through people around you. So I don't want to underestimate the choice that you have in your own life this morning, but neither do I want to underestimate what God has and what the work of God that brings our lives and the story of our life together. And maybe more often, sometimes when we are in the moment, it feels so much like it's our choice. I'll go back to the dating couples here this morning. You know, finally, it boiled down to it was your choice to ask a certain girl And it was their choice that they said yes. And it was their choice, it was your choice to start dating. But I think as you move on in life and you get farther and get a little older, and I don't feel I'm old this morning, but as you get older and you start to look back and you start to see how God orchestrated things, and you start to realize that, you know what, I had a small part to play with this choice, a small part to play in this choice, but God is the one that is directing our story or our life and bringing us together. And it was actually because of him that we actually, much of our story has happened. And you start to see him weaving, his will is weaved through your life. And while you're there and while you're moving forward, you want to be in God's will, but at the same time, it feels very much like a personal choice. Ryan and Danica are making a personal choice. Ryan, let's go back. Ryan made a personal choice to take a teaching job at Kirkwood Mennonite Church or school. And he did not, I don't know that he knew or he did not see himself dating and getting married and living here for 4 years. And now he's making another choice to move away and go back to the community where he grew up. And it's perfectly right. And he feels he's in God's will as he does this. And as he looks back, he may say, well, you know, the Lord, well, even now you can look back and say, well, the Lord led me here to find a spouse, and then the Lord led me back there, and the doors are open. Maybe someday he will come back again, and we don't know. Maybe the Lord will lead him back here. We can keep praying for that. And so let's never underestimate, too, that if we make a choice and things don't work out, that it doesn't mean that was a completely wrong choice. He could have came here, Ryan could have moved here and not found a wife and went back home, and that would have been an okay choice. Or you can ask a girl and she says no. That doesn't mean it was a wrong choice for you to ask. And so I'm trying to sort out things in my own mind as I balance life and how we get to these points. But let's never underestimate and prayerfully proceed with our decisions and ask for God's will and guidance in our lives. And I got a few more practical points here later on in the message of how to have this faithful story. What is ultimately a faithful story? Well, ultimately is one that is trusting in God, one that is led by God, one that has a belief in God that will make us have a faithful story. A quote that came across is, it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. And that was supposed to be back a little bit earlier with those points as far as what you do with the circumstances that come into your life will ultimately dictate the outcome of how it is. Life has difficulties, ups and downs. We all have experienced the good and the bad to some degree. This is what makes our stories different. It is how we handle these experiences that build our character and make us who we are. So much of what happens is out of our control, but none of it is outside of God's control. And let's not forget that this morning. No matter what comes into our lives, it can be good or bad, that it is not outside of God's control. He has allowed it to come into our life. It's very much the what we do with that will determine whether or not we're living faithfully, or determine whether or not we're believing that he is in control of our life. And as you stop and think, you know, stories of other people that you interact with from day to day, you can also look at the Bible and you see stories wrote there. And from beginning to end, people had a story. They had a journey in life. They went through life. Some had good experiences, some had bad experiences. Some trusted in God, some turned away from God. Some fell away from God, then came back to God. They repented and came back. And you can turn a while in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. And I couldn't think of any a better place to go besides Hebrews 11, known as the faith chapter. At first, I had started looking at a couple individual stories throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, and thought, yeah, there's just you could look at one person and take their life and see how the Lord led them. But then I didn't know, I couldn't narrow it down to small enough because there was too many good stories. And then my mind went to Hebrews 11. And these were people who were faithful. And I want to read this whole chapter at this time. And as we go across, it doesn't say all of their stories, but think about their stories as we read across it and think about it. Was all their life easy? No. Did they always make right choices? Sadly, no. But in the end, they were faithful. They trusted God. They were willing to be led by God. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many of the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persecuted of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out. They may have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsake Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, lest that destroyed the firstborn, such firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished
not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace? And what should I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel, of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edges of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, but they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Stop reading there. There's so many points that we could pull out of this, but it is by faith. What is faith? Faith is a belief in something that we cannot see. A God that is great, a great God that is in control of our life, in control of the universe, that is leading us. It is by faith that these people moved forward and that they were led on. They went places they didn't know they were going. They did not know what was lying ahead. We can go back and read their story, and we can see the whole picture, and we can say, well, why didn't you make a different choice? But their choices were made in the very same situation as the choices you are making this morning. You cannot see what is in tomorrow, what is in the next week, what is in your life 1 year from now. And I think the Lord has spared us many things by not allowing us to see what is right around the corner. But these people moved on. They were led one day at a time, one decision at a time. So how do you and I continue to live a faithful story? A story that ends in faith. These people died in faith. Even though they had ups and downs and there were difficulties and many things that are much worse than anything we have ever experienced, yet they came through faithful. How did they do it? They had a trust in God, and they lived faithfully one day at a time. And sometimes my guess is that they were making conscious decisions even more often than one day at a time. They were doing the next right thing one moment at a time. So how can we continue to grow in our faithfulness and in having a faithful story? Some of the practical points is, number one, is read God's word. Stay close to God's word. Reading the Bible is how we learn to hear and recognize God's voice. It is His word that tells us what He expects from us. Reading His word teaches us who God is and how we are to live faithfully. How can we know what faith is if we don't know what God is expecting from us? Be in His word. Let's not ever underestimate that. For us to remain faithful to His calling in our lives, we must know our Heavenly Father's voice and understand His leading. He has given us somewhat of a owner's manual, a way to live, a book of instruction. If we want to understand Him and understand His leading, let us be reading. Relationship comes from comfortability over time. As we build a close relationship, that only will come with time. You take two strangers, there's not a lot of relationship there. You put two strangers together for a year, 5 years, 10 years, there is a relationship, and that relationship deepens. And the same thing happens between us and God. The longer we are a Christian, the more we know Him, the more we're together, the more we forge that relationship, the more we will have a deep and lasting relationship. The deeper our faith will become in Him, the more trust we will, our carnal life or our human nature, the more we will be willing to hand over and let in God's hands if we trust Him. If you don't know who God is, or even if you're a new Christian, let's say you came from a place where you were you didn't even know what Christianity was, and somebody told you about being a Christian, and you need to trust in him and put your faith in him, that would be hard, because we have no confidence in who he is. But many of us who grew up in Christian homes, we've been taught about Jesus from little on up, and we've built this relationship, first of all, through our parents, they teaching us, and then we get to know God personally, and we trust him. We see how he can help us and how he can be there for us. All that to say, read God's word, build a relationship and connection and time with him. Spend time daily in the Bible if we want to be faithful, if we want to grow in our knowledge of God. Secondly, which goes hand in hand, is pray. Pray about every situation. Go to him with our needs and our wants. Start thanking God for who he is and what he has done for you. When you stop, I challenge you all sometime to sit down and write out your story from beginning to end. And if nothing else, I think it'll bring thankfulness into your life more times than not, especially if you focus on the good side. I'm so thankful for what God has done and where he has placed me and the home he has brought me up in and then the church that he's allowed me to be part of. And it was many of those things that were outside of my control. And all that to say is it should start with a prayer of thankfulness. Pray and thank God for what he has done. Also, tell God about how you feel. Tell God that you feel uncertain about taking this next step with him. You're just not sure where he's leading you. Tell him if you're struggling with the circumstances that he's brought into your life. Lord, I don't know why you've brought this hardship into my life. He wants to hear that from you. He may not change it today, maybe not even tomorrow, but he wants to know. He wants to build that relationship. You would do that with a friend. If you got together with a teenage friend that you haven't seen for 5 years, you would talk and you would share the things. You would catch up. Maybe you'd share the struggles you're going through. The same way is with God in our prayer life. Share your heart with him. Ask him to guide your steps in all circumstances and protect you as you go day by day. Thank him again and again for leading in your life. The third point of how to have a faithful story is be part of a body of believers. And this a church, a body of believers has a very large impact on who you are, and I think has an impact on where you will end up. Being part of a group of people who are trying to follow God's leading is very powerful in one's life. There is a sense of good peer pressure that is around you, people that will encourage you on. Now, you can't just go be part of a church and expect to everybody else to help you and you not give anything in return, but God has made us to be very social or very community-oriented. And so a church of believers, there's a lot of safety and discernment in that group and a lot of encouragement and just a lot of what is needed in order to stay faithful in life. It's not saying that you cannot be faithful on your own if the circumstances would be that way, but in the world where we live, we can go to church, and I think it's very important to be part of a body of believers, a church that is building you up and encouraging you on. These people are the people that will weep with you when you weep and will rejoice with you when you rejoice. And I can't say, I have not much more to say besides a church is a powerful asset to our Christian life. Fourthly, is seek wise wisdom and counsel from others. And this would be the people that you admire and you allow them to speak into your life that are outside of maybe your church. Proverbs tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things. It is important for us to not only seek guidance from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but also from guidance from others that are around us that can help us discern what we're hearing. Maybe they're the person that we go to and say, I feel the Lord is wanting me to do this. What do you think? And they may say, yes, I think that's a good idea. And it may be help us to make some of those bigger decisions. Make sure you have mature Christians around you who you can trust in, can trust confiding in to help you walk your journey of life. Be willing to submit to others or leadership or others who are older, maybe more of mentor roles. It can be very difficult as a young person or even middle-aged people to fully trust in sometimes in older people, but they have walked ahead of us and they have experienced life beyond what you and I have. Be open to other people holding you accountable, and that is a way of checking back in and encouraging you on. How are you doing in family life? How are you doing in devotional life? How are you doing in business life? Whatever it may be, these are your broader group of friends and people who you seek wisdom and counsel from. And also the people that you interact with most closely. It's said that you mirror the habits of the people who you spend the most time with. So if you want to build good habits, spend more time with people who you want to be like, people who are encouragers. If you spend time with negative people, it's more likely than not you'll become a negative person. And fifthly, remember that your story is not self-made. So too quickly, we can the one danger of going down this route and thinking of our stories, we claim it. And we claim this story is ours. And you know, it's somewhat is because of the decisions that I am here today. But your story is not self-made. It is because of the choices of many other people that you are who you are today. And think about that. It's because of the choices of your parents, your grandparents, your teachers, your friends, your Bible school teachers, your employer, your pastor, your church. Generations before, they all have a part and all in some way, even if it's small, had a way in affecting and making you and influencing you of who you are here today. And so in no way are you self-made. And just remember that it is God leading and bringing this all together that makes you who you are today. Has your story always been faithful to God? We can look at Hebrews here and we see many that throughout life their story was not faithful. Has your story always been faithful to God and His will for your life? The answer is probably not. Or it is that your story has not always been faithful. We are fallen humans, and we will not always be faithful. Many of us at some times have gone our own way, have made decisions on our own. We did what we wanted to do and did not do what God was wanting us to do. Doing this will not lead us in the direction God wants us to go. God directs by His word, by His people, and by His spirit. Are we in tune with those as we are trying to find direction, or are we trying to find direction from our own intellect or our own knowledge? The good news is that none of our stories are over as of now. We are all still alive here this morning. And so from this point forward, you can make decisions that will affect your story. Are the decisions you are making, is your story being faithful? Or do you need to change your course this morning? Do you need to do something different in order to have a faithful story? The most important thing is that we end faithfully. A life lived for Christ the whole way through is very good, and God can do a lot of work with that. But the most important thing is that we end faithfully, and that will determine where we spend our destiny. We still have time to keep being faithful and change our course this morning. So as we go from here, as we leave today, as we make choices and decisions, let's hold God's hand and let Him write our story. Let Him lead our way and help us have a faithful story. Is your story a faithful story this morning? Especially to Ryan and Danica as you leave and go from here to Pensacola. May you be faithful. May you faithfully live for Him, and may you surround yourself with other faithful believers to aid you on that journey of being faithful and serving Him in your new calling there. Let's kneel together for prayer.